Chapter 10. The Plague Ships. The spear of Espandor Crusade broke warp and tore without delay towards the center of the Parmenio system and the Prime World. The fleet was swollen greatly with reinforcements from all over Ultramar. Several were returned task forces that had completed their missions, driving away splinter forces of the Death Guard and making safe the worlds they had invaded. The rest were reinforcements drawn from across the segmentum. Adeptus Mechanicus formed the main. Legions of Skitari, battle robots, and three demi-legios of the Oberon, Fortis, and Ataris Titan legions. There were dozens of Astra Militarum regiments, convents of the Sisters of Battle, Militarum Tempestus strike groups, and more. Gilliman had asked for some of this help, but much had come unbidden, to aid the Primarch in the saving of his home. From the command deck of the Macrag's Honor, Rabute Gilliman controlled his fleet absolutely. A huge deck of screens was arrayed in a semicircle before the dais where he oversaw everything. His advisers gathered to his right, a horde of functionaries to his left, ready to take his orders wherever they needed to go. For a full day, the ships had burned engines at maximum capacity, attaining speeds close to one-tenth that of light, before sailing through the inner bounds and beginning their lengthy deceleration. Vulnerable transport craft flew at the heart of the fleet formation, protected by lines of escorts. The major warships formed a sharp spear blade, the Macrag's Honor at the very tip. Preparations for the attack were constant. Men and women came and went from the Primarch's side. Gilliman did not move from his station. He took his meat and drink there, but no rest. He monitored every operation, his capacious mind processing all and making constant adjustments. Shipmaster Bray, tiny in his command throne before the Primarch station, took as little rest as a mortal man could, only leaving when Gilliman ordered him to sleep. Still slowing, they passed quickly in system, driving hard past worlds ravaged by plague and war.
"The lesser planets of Parmenio suffer much," said Tetrarch Felix, Gilliman's erstwhile equerry.
His role was to lead the planetfall upon Parmenio, and he was often elsewhere, ordering his warriors. But he spared an hour on the command deck when he could, to stand at his gene father's side and learn.
"They will be saved in time," said Gilliman. "Parmenio must be liberated first, or we shall find ourselves playing the role of besiegers. We strike fast and strike hard at the heart of corruption. These outlying warbands can be dealt with easily once my brother is dead. We cannot tarry."
No one disagreed with him. They were all grim-faced. Seeing so many perfect worlds of Ultramar infested with the plague god's evil saddened them. They had no room in their hearts and minds for anything other than vengeance. The steady glint of Parmenio grew. First one light among many, soon it outshone the stars, and soon after that, it was brighter than the globular dots of its sister planets whirling about the sun. Gilliman disregarded his own written strategies and kept the fleet dead on course for the world, sailing along the plane of the ecliptic in defiance of any projectile that might be hurled their way. He wished to send his brother a message by his bold approach. "You are not welcome. Depart or die." From glint to dot, to ball to globe, Parmenio grew under Gilliman's steady gaze. Three continents graced its surface. Gardamas was far to the south and alone amid the ocean, while the other two, Hecatone and Keleton, were close to each other and together dominated the northern hemisphere. They were newly split in geological terms, a mere million years apart from each other's embrace. Divided by the narrow river sea, spurned Hecatone reached yearning headlands towards Keleton's bleak, uncaring hills. New lights winked into view, curling around the equator from the planet's night side on a steady orbital track.
"Enemy fleet in sight, my lord," Shipmaster Bray announced. "Give me long-range scans and breakdowns of their capabilities quickly. I want the main auger array to conduct sweeps on the planet immediately," ordered Gilliman.
Gilliman discounted the plague fleet. It was a fraction of the size of the Imperial force, with only three capital ships. Still, it had to be dealt with. The craft were in various stages of decay, more akin to the derelicts one might find caught in gravity wells near the sites of old conflicts than functional ships. But they sailed the void still, rusted and battered though they looked, coasting through the debris fields of Parmenio's shattered orbitals like diseased pelagic predators. Two showed signs of diabolical favour and had been transmuted utterly by Nurgle's whim. The hulls were soft, coated in exuberant growths of flesh. They looked too rotted to be dangerous, but Gilliman knew better. He issued orders that they be targeted as a matter of priority.
"Mortarion's flagship is not here," said Tribune Maldivar Colquan of the Adeptus Custodes, who alone had not left the Primarch's side throughout their approach, but stood by him, brooding in his golden armour.
"He may not be present." "His ship does not need to be here," said Gilliman. "Mortarion is no longer a Primarch. He is empowered by the dark energies of the warp. A demon requires no vessel to travel the stars, and nor does he. He will be here. He has practically informed me of the fact. Do not be deceived by the strength of his fleet. This is an invitation. See, the fleet he has stationed here are not legion, but the vessels of lesser renegades."
"It is a lure," said Felix.
"It is, but I go willingly to the hook," said Gilliman.
"The fallen chapters are more contemptible than the traitors of old," said Colquan.
The Adeptus Custodian simmered in his armour. He rarely spoke, but when he did, he spat his words, an inch away from anger. He ejected every syllable from his mouth hard, each laden with the energy of a bullet. Colquan was ashamed that his order had done so little before the Primarch rose from his slumber. Shame affects all men differently. Colquan's manifested as rage. Rage at Gilliman's near usurpation of the Emperor. Rage at the state of the galaxy. But mostly, rage at himself. He could kill 1,000 enemies, and it would not be enough. Every dead foe reminded him of the thousands more his sword would have cleaved had he not been confined to Terra.
"They leapt to their damnation with both feet. They saw clearly what was on offer and accepted it."
"Their reasons are their own," said Gilliman. "Do not fixate on ranking their degrees of treachery. We need to concentrate on what they are and how they fight.
They are corrupt, less skilled in combat than their traitor legion," said Colquan.
"They are formidable nevertheless," said Gilliman. "Attack Group Atticus. Peel off and assault the plague fleet. Keep them from us as we near the planet."
Men hurried to relay his orders. The attack group, a fleet in its own right, powered out of formation. Lesser squadrons broke off from elsewhere in the flotilla to form a fighting picket between the main task force and Atticus to intercept the plague ships should any break through.
"We have identified a potential source of warp energy, my lord," Shipmaster Bray informed him. "In Hecaton, the capital of the eastern continent."
"Show me,"
commanded Gilliman. A Tacticaria hololith sphere flickered on. Parmenio was presented within as a true picked graphic. The western continent was untouched, the southern mostly hale-looking. These two landmasses were the greens and browns and crystal blues of a healthy living world, though long dark streaks of smoke tailed off the major cities. Hecatone was afflicted, covered over with sickly yellow fogs.
"Reveal it,"
said the Primarch.
"Compensating for atmospheric conditions," intoned an augury specialist transmechanic.
The image flickered. Arcane technologies stripped the fog away from the halo. The last time Gilliman had seen the world, Hecatone's fertile plains had been a startling emerald, with circular fields of crops visible from orbit, studded with the brilliant white flashes of marble towns and the grey squares of transit centres. All was gone to filth. On the far eastern side of the mountains dividing the continent in two was nothing but ashen waste, agri-lands and urban centres all reduced to dead, black ground. On the west, the side nearest to the continent of Keleton, a filthy black marsh had been conjured into being. It swamped the plains of Hecatone right the way to the shores of the River Sea and the port city of Tyros.
"Show me the city of Hecaton," ordered Gilliman.
The Tacticaria rotated until Hecaton was in front of Gilliman's face.
"Close in view," ordered the Master Augurum. The hollow expanded, sucking the viewers down to near ground level. Hecaton's famous stepped plazas built into the mountainside were grey with weeds. The channels between its water gardens were dead black lines. Overlays imposed themselves upon the visual feed, bringing forth fresh colours. The effect was similar to heat vision, or dark sight, but this particular filter was gathered by the ship's psi oculus, an esoteric piece of machinery that allowed the mapping of etheric energies. With this false witch sight engaged, Hecaton was replaced by a many-armed vortex rotating over the world. It reached long streamers far out across the planet, and where they touched, corruption took root.
"That is certainly where Mortarion's clock is, in Hecaton," said Gilliman. "An orbital strike is preferable. We destroy it and break the web he weaves across Ultramar. Determine shielding."
"Scans indicate the presence of a warp field," said the Master Augurum. "No voids."
"Give me control of the main auger array," said Gilliman.
"As you command." Gilliman's fingers danced over numerous gel pads and brass keyboards. He paused every so often, eyes flicking back and forth over multiple displays.
"Here is the likely source."
A power complex covered over in fleshy veins appeared as a flat pict in a hololithic orb.
"It is defended with a warp field. Prepare psych-out missiles. Breach the shield. The gap will not last. Unfortunately, the power source must be destroyed on the ground. Tetrarch Felix, Captain Sicarius."
Gilliman's voice was carried out to his warriors' dropships by a hovering Vox Angel.
"Prepare for immediate deployment."
A klaxon hooted. "Loading psych-out missiles, my lord," announced the Master Ordinatum. Gilliman looked to the display where the vanguard of his fleet and the plague ships tussled as numbered triangles in a vectored sphere.
"Await my order to fire. Bray, full power towards the planet."
"We have few of these missiles, my lord," grumbled Colquhoun.
"That is why we will not miss," said Gilliman.
The renegade space marine fleet saw the McCrag's Honor pulling away from its escort. A squadron of destroyers managed to break the Imperial cordon and move towards the flagship. Bray ordered his gunners to cast a wall of mass shot in their path. Their death would be several minutes in coming, but they would die.
"Range to planet," said Gilliman.
32,000 kilometers and closing. "Reverse thrusters full," ordered Bray.
"My lord, the payload is free and ready for release," reported the Master Ordinatum.
"Hold fire until 2,600 kilometers," ordered Gilliman. "Point defense laser and particle beam turrets. Stand by to intercept anti-munitions fire."
He looked to Colquhoun.
"We will not miss."
The McCrag's Honor bulled its way through space, debris meteors from Parmenio's wrecked orbitals igniting a display of localized lightning storms and scintillas of annihilation flare all over the forward void shields. The ship groaned at the twin stresses of deceleration and Parmenio's strengthening gravity. All was quiet. The crew, whether baseline human, servitor, or Adeptus Astartes, were absorbed by their tasks.
"Range 2,600 kilometers," reported the Master Ordinatum. "Point defense turrets zeroed and ready."
"Tetrarch Felix, Captain Sicarius, launch," commanded the Primarch.
100 plasma lights shoaled away from the embarkation deck and hangars of the McCrag's Honor. Gilliman waited until the attack craft had cleared the fore of the vessel and was speeding towards the planet.
"Release ordnance," he said.
"Release ordnance," relayed Bray.
"Ordnance released," confirmed the Master Ordinatum.
"We are too far out for an orbital drop," said Colquhoun. "They are vulnerable." "Ordinarily, yes," said Gilliman. "Hundreds rather than thousands of kilometers is the norm. In this position, the McCrag's Honor shields them from the attentions of the plague fleet and is ready to respond to any surprises my brother might have for us. Watch and learn, Custodian."
The McCrag's Honor shuddered ever so slightly, a warship's equivalent of a gentle exhalation. From the plowblade prow, four massive torpedoes slid free. They were immense, as large as some of the smaller ships in the fleet. Void drives made up the back third. Servitors hardwired into their missiles' extensive cogitation suites guided them. They had their own batteries of point defense weapons, jamming suites, and decoy launchers, for the warheads they carried were precious indeed. Carried by each was a cluster of caskets, arranged like the slugs in a stub revolver's chamber deep inside the missile's layered armor. There were 18 in 3 rows of 6 capsules, a small payload for such a mighty delivery system, but devastating to the right target. Within the capsules were the refined remains of pariahs, individuals who, like the Sisters of Silence, had a minimal presence in the warp, and whose very existence was anathema to the creatures and energies of that realm. It was heretical weaponry, according to some, and vanishingly rare. Gilliman had no qualms about its use. The missiles moved slowly at first, relative to the flagship, but their engines accelerated them away towards the planet. A cloud of reflective chaff surrounded them, replenished by the missiles' onboard launches every 30 seconds, leaving a glittering trail behind them in space. Nothing shot at the missiles until they came near to the planet. Defensive fire twinkled on the blighted portion of Parmenio. The torpedo's own systems retaliated against those munitions moving slow enough to target. Swift missiles were peppered with hyper-velocity ball shot. Microlasers burned out shell heads. Enemy lasfire dispersed in the chaff field, beam coherency scattered. 3 minutes to impact, announced the Master Ordinatum. Task force approaching planetary envelope. The missiles outpaced Felix's invasion vanguard. Orange flared around their blunt noses. Heat shields shrugged aside the burn of re-entry. The McCrag's Honor's own guns were rumbling, hurling modest munitions at the world below. Their aim was not to destroy the enemy. Gilliman feared for Parmenio too much to do that from orbit, but to cripple the aerial defense network shielding the complex. A glaring flash blinked through the oculus, slow to die. An enemy ship exploding, unnoticed. All eyes were on the psych-out missiles. Gilliman leaned forward suddenly as one of the missiles drew a hail of fire and detonated, spilling anti-psychic fallout into the stratosphere. Half a minute later, the surviving torpedoes impacted on the target. On the tacticaria display, the psychic maelstrom shrank back like paper catching fire. It wavered on the edge of dissipation, then slowly began to creep back. "My lord, the warp shield is inactive," reported the Master Augurum. "Psi-oculus indicates building etheric activity. The shield will be back online within 10 minutes, maximum projection. Minimum estimate of 5 minutes." Gilliman nodded. Even at the worst estimate, Felix would perform his landing without fear of hitting the warp shield. He surveyed the swirling eye of corruption blighting Hecaton. Soon, it would close for good. He opened fleet-wide Vox.
"Attacking this facility will be dangerous and unpleasant. I do not commit you to this task lightly, but there is no other way. Mortarion's warp network rots the fabric of the Materium throughout our realm. It brings his warriors strength. It feeds his demonic allies with the black energies needed to sustain their essences. It speeds the spread of his unnatural plagues. With the warp clock of Parmenio smashed, victory here will be all the easier. This fight, this initial fight, will be among the hardest performed for this world. So I say to you, go forward in the name of the Emperor. He expects the utmost of you. He demands the greatest of efforts, for you are gifted by him with strength to be mightier than other warriors, in order that you might watch over lesser men and protect them, and deliver them from these evils that beset our galaxy. As you fight, I shall watch over you." He paused. "And my father shall watch over you also."
He looked to the watch commander.
"Order second invasion wave drop pods to prepare. Send messages to all troop transports and Titan dropships to ready themselves for immediate deployment the moment the warp clock is gone. Bray, bring us into stable high orbit. Choose a firing position. Target the Cathedral of Hecaton. Maintain suppressive bombardment upon enemy air defenses."
The crew responded with a chorus of affirmatives. The Macrag's Honor slowed and turned about to hold stationary anchor over the city. Its lance batteries charged, and in the decks housing its macro cannons, the gun crews labored to load the weapons with destructive magma shells.
"Second wave commanders reporting readiness, my lord," the master of the watch said.
"Launch,"
Gilliman said. At the Primarch's order, the launch tubes of a dozen ships belched fire, and the Space Marines of Ultramar raced across the void, past the dying remains of the plague fleet, towards the diseased planet.